As the weeks and the days dwindle to when people will be casting their votes in this year's election, the economy has been on the minds of many with so much turmoil. And each of the candidates, the presidential candidates, have been rolling out new economic plans on nearly a daily basis, so much so that sometimes people say it's just a blob of confusion. For some help in teasing out ways of looking at the candidates' economic philosophies from their policies, we turn now to Emma Coleman Jordan, a professor of law from Georgetown University Law Center and also author of Economic Justice, Race, Gender, Identity, and Economics. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
You refer to something called the economic North Star of the candidate's philosophy. Can you explain that?
Well, I think that the problem for the average voter is figuring out how to take a look at this blizzard of proposals that are coming out, many of them quite detailed, many of them only accessible to experts. And I think in that kind of environment, you've got to identify something that seems solid. And for me, the economic North Star for each of the candidates consists of three things. First, what are their values as they've express them consistently over the years of their careers? Secondly, who are the advisors? What are the cluster of people upon whom the candidates depend for economic advice? And thirdly, they do belong to political parties. What's the track record? What are the preferences, the traditions, and the norms that each of these parties represent? So a president obviously has a lot to do with the direction of the country, but to the extent the president is a member of a party, he will only be nominated by that party if his values are consistent with the party. So it seems to me that in these three areas, values, advisors, and party, you have the opportunity to peel away this heavy layer of often competing, conflicting, and confusing proposals and penetrate a bit deeper.
Let's take a look at your first measurement, core values, and let's apply that to Barack Obama, and then let's apply that to John McCain. Barack Obama, what do you think his core values are based on his proposals and his prior legislative efforts and his actions as a politician?
Well, one of the things we know about him is that he was a community organizer. He's a lawyer, trained as a lawyer, and has served in the state legislature. So those are things that give us some sense of where his priorities lie personally, in that his ability to make money when he first graduated from undergraduate school and then later when he graduated from law school, he deferred entering the private market to make a lot of money, which he could have and did not. So we can say that his values lie with service. With Senator McCain, you can say the same thing. His values lie with service. He served the country honorably and with distinction in the military. He then went into service again in the Congress and eventually into the Senate. So both of them, on their values, you can say service is a very dominant part of their values. On the economic front, I think that both of them have shown that they are concerned about the state of the overall system of our financial system. But in the case of Senator McCain, he has consistently said that he is a deregulator. He has also indicated that his preference is to let the market work out all solutions to problems, and that is an important value that he has articulated consistently over the years. It's expressed in his votes. It's expressed as well in his public speeches and in his proposals. Mm-hmm. So,
and Barack Obama, by contrast, is more comfortable with the idea of the government intervening.
Yes, I think so. I think it would be fair to say that he certainly does show every indication of having a consistent set of values that he uses the term from the bottom up. He seems to be more focused, very concerned about the people who are in the middle and at the bottom of the economic ladder. And his focus, his lens of values are focused on how are these people doing? What is best for them?
Well, Professor, what is the North Star way of looking at how the candidates handle the economy? You know, candidates talk about the economy in every single election. It's always important. But at this point, everybody's saying we're in a crisis situation. They're not saying it. We are in a crisis. So does the North Star philosophy or the North Star metric apply in a crisis situation?
Well, it certainly does, but I think, as you've properly pointed out, it is very hard to figure out where that North Star is when there's a cloud cover, and that's where we are right now. We are under a cloud cover of emergency circumstances in the economy, and so all of the candidates are moving to a mean that's quite different from where they would be under normal circumstances. So, for instance, certainly we can see that each of the candidates is willing to make use of government power to intervene in the markets in very bold and dramatic ways. We saw that with the bailout legislation, where both of the candidates supported the bailout, supporting a $700 billion plan to acquire what everyone is calling toxic assets, a complex series of financial derivatives from the financial institutions in order to free up their books. Now, that plan was modified later by the Treasury Secretary, but both of the candidates basically supported giving taxpayer dollars to financial institutions through the Treasury Department to rescue the system.
So certainly lots of details, lots of things for voters to consider, but you would suggest they just take a look at their proposals in the context of what they've done before and what some of their core values seem to be. Professor Emma Coleman-Jordan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Professor Emma Coleman-Jordan teaches economic justice, commercial law at Georgetown University Law Center, and she is also the author of Economic Justice, Race, Gender, Identity, and Economics. And we're always on here at The Takeaway. We're conducting America's exit poll.
I decided on Barack Obama about 2 years ago when I heard him on an interview, and he won me over with his speak and ideas and his general demeanor and sounded like a good guy, and he hasn't disappointed me.
Wow, that was a voter, Todd Zwillick, who's here with me from Capital News Connection, made up his mind 2 years ago. We want to hear your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. What pushed you over the edge for one candidate or another, or have you not decided? What do you think it's going to take for those people, Todd, who are undecided? You have about 5 seconds.
A lot more than one speech. That guy who called in was one of the easy ones.
One of the easy ones. Todd, thanks so much for being with us here this morning. I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.